This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We bring in our hockey insider, Greg Wyshynski, to 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I don't appreciate Major League Baseball overshadowing the Hockey Hall of Fame announcements today with their whole coming back to play nonsense.
But, I think that was their whole positioning here too. If we have a final answer today, it will completely overshadow the NHL.
Precisely. They knew that the only way to knock Jerome Iginla off the front page of the New York tabloids, making the Hockey Hall of Fame, is to announce the baseball
fact. I think that was their grand plan. All right, so when are we going to actually find out where the NHL is going to resume? We know it's going to resume. When do we find out where it's going to resume?
Ah, but we don't know it's going to resume. That's the trick. So the players have signed off on what the playoff format is going to be if they come back. 24 teams, 12 teams in two cities. They're cool with that. That's what they've decided. They haven't decided whether or not they're coming back yet. And we reported on Monday in our big Monday morning NHL COVID-19 roundup. I talked to one player who said, look, it's about 50-50 right now as far as the player is approving a return to play. There's a lot of concerns about the safety of the hubs. There's a lot of concerns about guys not being able to see their families for 2.5 months after being with their kids every day for the last, 3.5 months. There's a lot of concern. And then on top of that, just like other sports, there's also a lot of collective bargaining going on behind the scenes between the NHL players and the NHL. There's a new CBA that needs to be ratified the next couple of years. The players clearly see this as an opportunity where they can maybe leverage stuff they want, including, how much money they might have to give back to the owners because of the revenue losses this year, next year. So there's a lot of stuff still on the table with regard to whether they're going to sign off on a return to play. But as far as the hubs go, it could be this week. I was talking to a few sources over the weekend. They seem to indicate that with the league telling certain cities, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Minnesota, that they're not in the running anymore, that they've really narrowed the list down, and we could find out potentially on Friday during the draft lottery where the two hub cities are going to be.
Let's be honest, though. I'm dealing with escrow and everything else. The players, they can posture all they want. I mean, they understood when they agreed to the 24 teams and everything else what was at stake. They can't afford to not restart this thing, in all honesty.
Yeah, they're going to take a huge hit if they don't. That's for sure. I mean, the money they already owe on top of the money that they would owe, with the league not making any revenue this summer from. So remember, one of the big things about coming back for all these leagues is the fulfillment of contractual obligations to sponsors and broadcast partners. In the NHL's case, it would be a situation where if they don't come back and play a certain number of games, all that stuff's going to be credited to next season with the local broadcasters, with NBC, with the broadcast partners in Canada. And they don't want to do that. I mean, the NHL doesn't want to dig itself a deeper hole financially. The players don't want to necessarily do the same. So I agree. But look, man, it's a pandemic. And I think there are a lot of concerns from guys, from what I've heard, and especially the older players and families, that they're going to be put in a situation that maybe is not safe. Look at it this way. The NHL shut down its season because one player in a different sport tested positive, right? And so now you're coming back to play in these bubbles. The NHL, you're asking the NHL, what happens if somebody tests positive? And their answer is, well, we'll pluck them out of general population and we'll keep playing. Like, you can't even wrap your brain around that kind of leap from shutting down the season for several months because of one positive test to saying, all right, boys, play on if it happens in these hermetically sealed bubbles. So I appreciate the skepticism. I think they'll approve the play at some point, but I appreciate the skepticism.
Greg, the NHL has reported 11 positive tests of the 200 players that have participated in Phase 2, which is voluntary. Do we have any idea of the number of positive tests in the bubble atmosphere that it would require in order to suspend play?
Great question, and we don't. We've tried to nail down the NHL on some numbers on a couple of things, and they've been obviously a bit vague about it. They've been on the record as saying that if there's a positive test, it's not going to shut down these tournaments. I don't know if there's a certain number of positive tests that would require it. I mean, it could be, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the idea of, well, what if a team gets infected, right? And it has to pull out or something like that. What would happen then? I don't know. That's a good question. It's one of the things that I think they're probably talking to the players about to ratify before the players vote on anything. But the other numbers question is, because you're starting to see this a lot in the NBA, is what if you have players that pull out, that decide for whatever reason, their own health, their family's health, what have you, that they don't want to participate in this thing? The NHL has told us there's not going to be any penalty for, you know, the first few guys that do this. They'll lose out on playoff bonus money, what have you, but they're not going to be suspended or anything. So, you know, I guess they're treating it different than skipping the All-Star game, come to think of it. But if it's a lot of guys that decide not to play, then the NHL has told us, well, we might have to reevaluate things because then we've got a problem on our hands.
A lot up in the air with the NHL. Greg Wyshynski with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So it seems like they're down to six hub host cities: Vegas, Chicago, LA, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Toronto. Explain to me how Vegas is a good idea. I mean, we're talking about guys are concerned about their families and health, and it's so important. Of course, it is at a time like this. How can Vegas make sense here?
Well, Vegas, so there's a couple things that they're looking at logistically that Vegas checks the boxes on. One is obviously hotel capacity. They need to find room for 12 hockey teams plus staff, plus, you know, broadcasters and the people that make the ice and all the NHL people. So they need a lot of hotel rooms. They need pretty good hotel rooms at that, which obviously Las Vegas has, not only in the city itself, but within walking distance of the arena, right? So, like, they've got that. They've got a few different rinks in the area, the Golden Knights practice facility, UNLV, where they can go and they can make ice and they can have these teams practice because, you know, you're going to be playing games throughout the day, but you're going to also have to give these teams an opportunity to practice and work out when they're not participating in the tournament. So Vegas has that capacity as well. The third thing, and this is an important one, you know, to any player, is send us to a place we want to go. And so when they start thinking about life in a bubble, are there going to be restaurants we can go to? Are there going to be golf courses we can go to? Are there places where maybe our family can hang out while we're doing the talkie thing? Vegas, you know, checks all those boxes as well. Now, their, you know, spot as a speculative favorite for a hub was at a time when the numbers were a lot better as far as positive tests in Nevada. That's obviously changed. I don't know if that necessarily wipes them out of the process, but it certainly casts them in a new light, which is why sources have told us for the last couple of days that the possibility of it being two Canadian cities, considering how good their numbers have been as far as mm-hmm. COVID, has grown exponentially. And, you know, you'd imagine one of those cities is going to be Vancouver for that very reason, that the players and their families would love to be there. And also they have a lot more hotel capacity than a place like Edmonton.
So, Greg, explain to me, this is going to be different than the NBA bubble because they're going to be all confined into Disney and they'll have golf courses and everything on the property. How is this going to actually work with the NHL? Will they be, you say Vegas, so will they have, you know, a handful of golf courses, restaurants, and everything else that they're going to participate in to know that the guys are safe going to these places?
That's correct, yeah. They've talked about the possibility of buying out a few restaurants for the majority of their time there, so the players can go there and eat and you know that it's been, you know, kind of cordoned off from the general public. Same thing with golf courses. I'm sure there's other considerations as well for these guys. But that's sort of been the pitch from Vegas that's been in the Toronto pitch as well, you know, kind of specifying VIP areas, let's call them, for the players during their time in the bubble. And that's a big thing. You know, I've talked to a number of epidemiologists in the last few months, which is something I never thought I'd say as a hockey writer. Who have told me that, you know, they can pull this off. Like, it is possible to pull off the hub city, you know, playing in a bubble thing, as long as you test with regularity. And the NHL, I think, is talking about testing every other day. And as long as you cut these guys off from the general population. Now, that's going to ask for a lot of personal responsibility from players in Las Vegas, which is a whole other conversation. But you can pull it off if you can control the conditions. And like you said, buying out some restaurants, designating some golf courses, that sort of thing is part of that equation.
Greg, you mentioned the NHL draft lottery, which is supposed to take place on Friday night. How exactly is that going to work with the expanded 24-team tournament?
They came up with a really novel concept. So the way the NHL works is that they do three lotteries for the top three picks in the draft, right? So you have seven teams that aren't in the postseason tournament. So those seven teams are in the lottery. Then they're going to do a bunch of placeholder spots for the teams that would lose in the first round, the qualification round of the postseason, right? So on Friday, what you're going to have is a bunch of actual teams and these placeholder spots all having different odds to get one of the top three picks. Now, if three teams that are currently outside the picture, let's say it's like Detroit, Ottawa, and the Devils, right? Let's say those are the top three picks. Then that's it. Those are your top three picks. Everybody else gets seeded by their standings points. If one of those placeholder spots wins a lottery and gets into the top three, then we get a second lottery after the qualification round, before the round of 16, where one of the teams that's eliminated will get a shot at a top three pick through their own lottery. A little confusing, but it's a novel way to kind of be able to do the lottery before the playoffs start without having this nightmare scenario where, you know, there's a good probability a team could win the lottery and the Stanley Cup in the same season.
Got it.
Greg Wyshynski joins us here on the show. Greg, a lot of talk around the NBA. It seems like the players that come down with COVID-19, you know, seem to get through it well. Concern would be coaches. What is the level of concern in the NHL with coaches?
Yeah, there is. And there's ongoing conversations with the NHL Coaches Association about that sort of thing. And it's the same kind of situation as they're going to be asking guys if they want to participate in this, if they have any underlying conditions in which they might be in trouble. But you're right. I mean, not only the coaches, but also some of the older guys that are in the front offices, referees. I mean, you're talking about a large swath of people that not only are in different age brackets, but are also obviously in a different level of fitness than NHL players. So it's a concern. And that's why the numbers they're talking about as far as personnel inside of these arenas that they choose might be capped at like 50 people total. I mean, they're going to keep a real tight bubble. The media doesn't even know if we're going to be inside the arena or not for these games. So it's going to be one of those situations where they're just trying to make it as safe as possible, but also keep in mind that they do have some at-risk people that are probably going to have to be inside that arena.
Now, would you have to agree to be quarantined? Like, if they called you and said you can do this, I mean, would you have to agree to be a part of the bubble?
I don't know yet. They're talking about different things as far. Well, first of all, like, I don't think the media is going to be in the exemption class of being able to fly to Canada and not be quarantined for 14 days. That's still the process at the border. They've made an exception for NHL personnel. I don't know if we'll necessarily be part of that exception, right? So, like, that's one level of it. But as far as being in quarantine or being in the bubble, I don't know, because it's completely a different story whether they let us into the arena or if they keep us maybe to the outside. I tend to think this is going to end up being like the Olympic Village, right? Where like the media rarely gets to go inside the village outside of designated time. You can't necessarily just go to the village and hang out there, right? Most of the times you're going to interview an athlete at the Olympics outside of the bubble of the village. And I imagine that might be the case in these situations. I've already participated in a COVID social distancing press conference. The San Jose Sharks played a few games here before everything shut down, and we were in a locker room where like Joe Thornton was standing against one wall, and we were all about 15 feet back, and we're yelling questions at him. And it wouldn't surprise me to see that kind of setup for the media in these bubble sites. Probably an off-site situation, holding the press conferences like that. Maybe one of those big pieces of glass that you see at the buffet to make sure you don't sneeze on the lettuce.
At the bank, yeah.
Something like that. But also, you keep this in mind, you know, most of the reporting that we've done, almost all the reporting that we've done outside of phone calls during the shutdown has been over Zoom. And there's been talk from the NHL that especially for like local newspapers that might not necessarily right now have the budget to put up their reporters for, you know, weeks on end in Las Vegas or what have you, that there's going to be ways in which they're going to have these players interact with media around the country for those folks that either can't, you know, afford to travel at this point or who aren't allowed to travel or simply are a little bit squeamish about traveling at this point.
All right, Greg, last one for me. I mean, you mentioned some of the cities. So you got Vegas, and it sounds like it could be the Eastern Conference that ends up in Vegas. You also mentioned Vancouver. Is there any pushback from teams that, you know, having the West in Vancouver, having the Vancouver Canucks in Vancouver would be an unfair advantage, or no?
There has been. There was pushback on Vegas being in Vegas, which, again, I tend not to really give too much mind to. I mean, when it comes to home ice advantage is the ability to have your home fans in the building and then also sleep in your own bed, right? Like, that's basically what home ice advantage is. A, the fans aren't going to be in the building, and B, Gary Bettman's already said that if you are a team whose city is hosting one of these hubs, you're going to be stuck in the hotel like the rest of the teams. You're not going to be able to go home and see your families. You're going to be inside the bubble like everybody else. So both of those advantages fall by the wayside. So, like, outside of knowing, like, where the bathrooms and the vending machines are and the bowels of the arena, like, you don't really have too much of a home ice advantage if you're Vancouver at this point.
All right, Greg, listen, we appreciate a couple minutes. Keep us posted. We'll definitely have you on again. Hopefully there will be hockey, and hopefully baseball doesn't, you know, stand in the way of the hockey news next time.
Fingers crossed, boys. Thank you very much.
All right, good stuff. That is Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.com. Does an outstanding job. This is not great news. This is from Golf Week. I don't know if you saw this, Rick. Brooks Koepka will withdraw from the Travelers. His caddy tested positive for coronavirus.
No, it's going to happen, man. It's an inevitability. I mean, Rory McIlroy said the same thing. I mean, we're in the midst of a pandemic. I mean, regardless of what Novak Djokovic thought, I mean, COVID-19 does still exist. And at some point, you're going to, I mean, unfortunately, guys are going to come down with it. That's the reality.
Yeah.
And you just keep hoping that, I mean, all these names, all these athletes that get it, they get through it okay, and we don't have any tragedies.
Yeah, I mean,
you can look at it two different ways. You can look at it as good news or bad news. It's obviously bad news because they got it, but the good news is that it seems for the most part, the athletes that have gotten it, the professional athletes that have gotten it, have done well with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's
In all honesty, I mean, I was thinking about this morning watching some of that Tom Brady stuff. If I was Tom Brady, he's in great shape. We all realize that, and he's continuing to work out in high schools and everything else. Wouldn't you want to expose yourself to what you're going to be dealing with during an NFL season now to see if you do get it? Like, I would want to see if I get it now. I would rather get it now knowing that I may get it during the season and have to
I understand what your point is, but I don't want to expose myself.
Yeah, I don't want to get it. Yeah, I don't want to get it at all.
No, you don't want to get it. But the reality is, in football, there are going to be a lot of guys that do get it. Like, I would rather go through exactly, in my mind, what I feel like I'm going to be going through during an NFL season now. In best case scenario is I don't get it, but if I do get it, I would rather get it now than during the season.
Well, I think a lot of players are still going about business as usual in terms of doing the work that they need to prepare for the season. Like, we've heard about Daniel Jones, you know, setting up, you know, passing camps, and we've heard about Sam Darnold doing the same thing out on the West Coast. So it's like people are going about their business even though the health officials and the guidelines that have been set by the CDC suggest that you shouldn't be doing these things. The players are doing those things because they know they've got to get ready for a season. So if you just so happen to get it while you're going through that process, then so be it. But, I mean, if I'm a player, there's no way that I want to expose myself to this virus just to try to get it out of the way.
For me, this is not like when you have a kid.
No, but you misunderstand what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, go find someone that has it and get it.
Not like chicken pox when you're a kid.
No, I'm saying go through your daily routine like you expect to have your daily routine once the season starts. And if you do, unfortunately, get it, I would much rather get it now than, like, especially at Tom Brady's age. Like, and not just, I'm not saying he's high risk. I'm saying because of what he has at stake as far as the rest of his career is concerned. Like, he's trying to win a Super Bowl now. Like, he doesn't want to miss games now. He'd rather get it before the season, get through it, and then not have to worry about it if he is going to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a dicey situation. It is. It's because it's scary.
But it's not going to get less dicey. I mean, he could be equally as dicey.
But if I can be exposed to it in 3 months, I think I'd rather be exposed to it in 3 months than now.
Well, you're going to get exposed to it, period, I think. So why would you want
to... You have a better chance of being exposed to it when you get to the season as opposed to right now? Because you're not playing games, you're not having practices?
Yeah, I mean, I would just... It's why I keep saying, if I was in the NFL, I'd get guys back sooner rather than later. Just to test this out, because no one has any good answers. Like, you have no idea. Like, if you mean to tell me that Novak Djokovic having a dance party with his boys, with their shirts off, now everyone tests positive.
And cooling Nikola Jokic.
And that's all it takes. What's going to happen in the NFL when I got offensive and defensive linemen breathing each other's faces?
We know.
Okay, so I mean, if that feels like an inevitability.
It also feels like the NFL doesn't really care as much.
Yeah. Oh, it sure does, doesn't it?
It doesn't. You know, I mean, I think they've pretty much conceded that a lot of guys in the league are going to get it, and we're betting that those guys are going to be able to get onto that other side of it relatively unscathed. And I just think that's a dangerous game to be playing, especially with some of the larger athletes in the sport.
You can't afford to lose that game. You can't afford to lose that bet, Chris, because if you lose that bet one time, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, if you lose that bet, you're talking about somebody losing their life or coming
exactly.
damn close to it. And the sport can't afford that. I don't think any sport can afford that. I mean, if you're talking about one tragedy across any of these team sports, I think they all have to consider shutting it down.
They all shut it down. Not consider. They all have to shut it down.
Right.
They're all right now. Everyone, every sport is just leaning on the percentages that you've seen with this age group.
But think about how many athletes we're talking about, Rick.
No, you're right.
We're talking about thousands of athletes.
Well, thousands of athletes, coaches, and everything else. I mean, these coaches, you've already heard the pushback from NBA coaches, and I'm sure the same thing is going to be said about NHL coaches. They can't preach. They're not going to preach togetherness and everything else and not want to go, jump into the playoffs and help their team win a championship.
Right, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no perfect solutions. It's a terrible position to be put in, but
this is awful.
Ultimately, I mean, this whole thing stinks.
It does. You can't even have dreamed something like this up of where we are right now.
I didn't realize that hockey was so up in the air.
Neither did I. Did you
it's
know that,
not up
Rick?
In the air. It's not, no, because it's not up in the air. It's not. I mean, financially, what the players stand to lose, they're trying to do what the – guess who – I mean, just for people who don't know, Dave, just remind people who the head of the NHL Players Union is.
Don Fehr.
Yeah.
Who's one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's doing what Tony Clark should have done.
Exactly, which is negotiate the CBA while you're trying to negotiate a return to play.
Exactly right, because this
is
now you have
done.
Now you have legitimate leverage.
Mm-hmm.
This is a strike without it actually being a strike, because you can frame it as health wise it doesn't make sense.
When's the hockey CBA up?
21-22,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, 21-22.
After next season.
After the 21-22 season, yeah.
Okay, so we have the rest of this season, a season, another season, and then it's up.
Yeah, but he's smart. He's getting ahead of it.
I agree with that.
As players, you're never going to ever have this kind of leverage again, because all the owners want the TV revenue from playoffs. So now you're in a perfect situation, because all you have to do, and we said this the entire time, is behind closed doors, let the owners know, hey, if we don't want to play, we don't have to play, because we'll frame it as a health concern. And every single fan will understand. What are you going to give us? That's why the players' union was so good, is because Don Fehr is so smart.
Mm-hmm. So there will be hockey.
I feel like the NHL players should farm Don Fehr out to the other sports unions.
We were just happy we could get him, man.
Yeah,
I mean, sitting
a long
with
time
him.
Coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, sitting in room. He understands the game. Like, he knows how to play the game. And right now, the players are playing the game, and I appreciate that. But there are legitimate
concerns. We will get hockey.
Yes, we will get hockey.
All right, good.
Just depends on where they're going to have it.
So we're about a month away from sports returning, right? Baseball, hockey, basketball, between 4 and 5 weeks of everything returning.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a little leery, but it does feel good.
Well, of course you're leery, but I mean, there will be guys that get it. And it's just going to be up to the different leagues to make sure they have, the tracing and the isolation and everything else under control, where they can make sure there's not an outbreak.
They have to. First and foremost, they have to. All right, CMT. I don't know where you're going to go. I'm thinking
you
he might,
no
Chris,
idea.
I'm thinking he might go baseball today, right?
Never know, Dave. You
I know. I don't
never know.
Know. With the return to baseball, I'm thinking, Chris, where would you put your money on for CMT today?
I don't know. I got a sneaky suspicion he might go NBA. Because
NBA?
Today is the Yeah, I'm just saying. Today is the deadline that the players have to let their teams know whether they're going to participate in the return, right?
Today is that deadline, yeah. And big name has already said he's not returning, and we'll get into that in the 12 o'clock hour. You think NBA? Maybe he combines.
Ooh.
We haven't really had that. We haven't really had a a la carte CMT.
Well, combination.
Yeah. Like the poo-poo platter CMT.
How much do you love the poo-poo platter?
Oh, who doesn't love the poo-poo platter?
Oh, my goodness. It's my
hand
favorite.
Raised for somebody that doesn't love the poo-poo platter.
You don't love the poo-poo platter?
Yeah, I'm all set on that. Yeah.
All right, we got to go to break. 800-919-3776.
I wouldn't CMT. Touch my face after the poo-poo platter, but it's delicious.
Delicious. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. All you have to
anywhere.
Do is click anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere you go.
The pool, shower.
That's right.
Wherever
you
bathroom.
Go.
Bathroom.
Well, I think that goes without saying. We're big in the toilet room, yeah.
AKA The Office.
The Office. Click listen live. How do you do it? People say, I can listen anywhere, but how do I do it, guys? Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go.
You want to know what my favorite thing is now? Not my favorite.
Vanilla
thing,
ice cream with chocolate sauce.
I do love a delicious hot fudge sundae. No, my new favorite thing, and I'm saying this sarcastically, is, and we mentioned the bathroom, is that when you're in the middle of doing your business in the bathroom, when your kid just walks in and has a regular conversation as you're sitting on the toilet.
Yeah. You know, it's worse for me, I think, because I have a 9-year-old that does that. At least yours is like, you're 3 and 5. It happened like within the last...
But they're oblivious, like nothing's going on.
Yeah, but he's
like,
9. It's no big deal. But 3 and 5, it's like understood. Okay, you know what? You guys could need immediate attention. Alex walks in. I was like, Alex, I'm going to the bathroom. He goes, yeah, but I wanted to know, does this match this? I'm like, Alex.
So
no,
what are you
concern.
Doing, Dad? Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
Just want to talk.
Yeah, that's it. I wouldn't be surprised if he just, can we talk? I haven't seen you all day.
Because he knows you can't get out of there. You're stuck.
That's
There's
right.
no going anywhere.
You're locked in.
You're trapped.
Yeah, they got you.
That's the best, man. Every single day, it's something new.
Oh, it's something new. All right. All right. Speaking of something new, let's go. CMT.
All right, here we go, boys. A little hump day edition of CMT. Was going to do some baseball. Actually, was
all right, baseball, baby. Here we go.
Not doing baseball.
Oh.
Was going to do some handsome athletes.
Handsome athletes. Here we go.
Not going to do handsome athletes. Oh, so what I decided
God.
To make this.
Rick, you got to promise me one day you're going to do handsome athletes.
No, of course. That'll be a
yeah,
fun day.
Okay, please. Yeah,
Let
yeah.
me know when you're going to do that so I can make sure I'm not on that show.
So disrespectful to handsome athletes. So disrespectful.
Not disrespecting anybody. I'm just made to feel uncomfortable
Tom
when
Brady.
We start judging the look of other men.
Tom Brady, Jimmy G.
Garoppolo.
Tom Brady, Jimmy G, or Cam Newton?
You can't go
Cam
wrong.
Cam Newton's handsome. Cam
yeah,
Newton is
wrong.
Handsome.
No.
He's a fashion
smile.
Icon. Fashion icon. How Cam Newton is not in L.A. blows my mind. The
or
NFL
somewhere.
Should mandate that an L.A. team signs Cam Newton immediately. He should be on the Rams or the Chargers today.
Or he could go back and forth. He could play them both.
We feel good about Easton Stick. Stop. If I was a hockey player, I did love the Easton Stick. They don't make it anymore. But as my, you know, in my quarterback room, I can live without Easton Stick.
There, hang on a second. There's a
that's
player.
Like having a name. That's like having a name, Louisville Bat.
I didn't this, even this is there's my, a player called Easton Stick.
Yeah, their third string quarterback is Easton Stick.
Yeah, I never heard of him before.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, here's my quarterback, Chevy truck. It's ridiculous.
A lot of promotional opportunities.
Did you know what happened on this day in 1992?
So 92, so what are we, June 24th, 92?
92.
Is this Bulls related?
This is not Bulls related. This is NBA related, but not Bulls. What also makes this topical is this is related to where the NBA will start their season.
Shaq to the Magic?
Yeah, I mean, I really outdid myself. Yep. On this day in 1992, the Orlando Magic drafted one Shaquille O'Neal.
How is that you outdoing yourself?
Oh, I tied everything. I mean, it's an anniversary. It's NBA, and you have to make your decision, like the soft make your decision if you're going to return, and the season's returning in Orlando.
I mean, it was a nice question. I don't think it was sensational like you're saying.
No, but what I'm saying, it's not a great question, but it ties into the CMT. So I'm getting the city and the sport.
Well, I don't know what the CMT is, so I can't comment on that yet.
The CMT is going to be, Shaq was with the first overall pick, NBA first overall picks. NBA
like
first overall picks.
You know, Michael Olowokandi being here.
He will not. Okay. And I can promise you Kwame Brown.
Olowokandi man.
Yeah.
Kwame won't be in it. Anthony Bennett won't be in it.
Oh.
I'm going to keep Markelle Fultz out of it. Okay?
Okay.
So are you ready?
Okay.
I'm going cream of the crop.
Okay.
Because they rise to the top. Here we go. I am going to give you Allen Iverson the answer.
Yeah, we're familiar with his work.
I was once called the question.
We in here talking about practice.
Practice. Kyrie Irving. Ben Simmons. AI, right. Kyrie, and Ben Simmons.
All right, the marriage for me, I think, is easy. I'm marrying the answer.
If it was socially acceptable, mm-hmm. I would marry them.
I love
you
it.
You have to marry Iverson was...
He's got to be one of your favorite players of all time, isn't he?
All time, because he was great at Georgetown. Great at Georgetown. He was a great NBA player. He carried that Sixers team that went to the finals. And I mean, they didn't have a number. You talk about Ewing getting a team to the finals with no number two. I mean, they had nothing as far as the second best player is concerned. So I'm going to marry Iverson. I'm going to cuddle Kyrie.
Bombs
and I'm going
and
to
hellacious seeds.
Kick Ben Simmons to the curb.
Burn right to the garbage. Look at this garbage.
Can't disagree with you, Dave. I mean, I'm going to agree across the board. I mean, AI changed NBA culture. You know, he had that appeal to him that he was authentic. He was genuine, even though he was rough around the edges. And I think that appealed to a younger generation. So I think Allen Iverson did a whole lot in terms of overall growth of the game. So I'm going to marry him.
Plus, not a game, not a player. Game, not a game. We talking about practice.
One of the greatest rants of all time. I'm going to cuddle Kyrie. And although I really don't like his attitude, you can't deny his skill set. He's the best ball handler in the NBA. And he is a champion, even though he was riding LeBron James' coattails. I'm going to cuddle Kyrie Irving.
Bombs and relationships.
Was a big
and
shot, gonna, though. He did hit a big shot.
He did hit a huge shot.
Okay, got to give him credit for that. I'm going to trash Ben Simmons. I don't know how effective you're going to be as a primary ball handler that can't shoot. It's a problem in today's game.
Yeah, it seems like a long-term issue.
Yeah.
Could affect you down the road.
And it hasn't gotten much better at all either.
No.
Apparently, which is the amazing part.
Apparently when no one's watching. Maybe not having fans in stands helps him with that.
It could.
Mentally.
Shoots 40% from three.
Can you imagine that?
He becomes the Steph Curry of the nobody's at the game.
He's making logo threes. Can you imagine that?
Well, you don't guard him outside the foul line anyway.
No, of course you don't.
Didn't he hit one in China when they were playing in China in the preseason?
I think he said, what, two?
Is
he at
two? Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Okay, how about this one, Dave? Again, I like to tie this into, you know, who Dave Rothenberg just loves and adores.
So your goal is to make this hard on me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to give you Patrick Ewing, Olajuwon, and the Admiral, David Robinson.
All right. This is solely based on their NBA career, right?
Career.
Okay.
Who you would want?
Yeah, I'm going to marry Akeem.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Was the best of the three NBA players. He was amazing. I don't even think Jordan's better, clearly, but I don't even think you look back and you say, "Boy, they made a mistake in Houston taking Akeem over Jordan."
No,
I mean, Akeem was just—he was a wonderful player. So I'll marry Akeem. I will cuddle Patrick Ewing.
Bombs
even though Robinson won the championship, I will still cuddle Patrick Ewing. And no respect to the Admiral, and I salute when I do this. I'll kick him right to the curb.
Look at this garbage.
So disrespectful. So disrespectful.
It's unbelievable. The Admiral.
Man, the Admiral. Rebounding champ.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year.
One of the best mustaches in pro sports, too, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, could also go on your handsome man questionnaire.
Gorgeous mustache.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm disagreeing with what Dave did. Of course, you got to marry Olajuwon out of that trio. But I'm going to cuddle up to Dave Robinson.
Bombs and
delicious
seeds.
You're kicking Patrick?
What'd you say?
You're kicking away Patrick?
I am, Dave.
Oh. Have you ever shot that shot?
You know, I don't have the allegiance to Patrick Ewing that you do, Dave, because I didn't grow up a Knicks fan. I was a Lakers fan.
Rick, where would you go here with this trio?
Where would I go with this trio?
Yeah. You're marrying Akeem.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I mean, that one's easy for me. I'm probably going to cuddle Patrick, and then I hate to even do it because I love David Robinson, but I would probably gently place David Robinson.
Yeah, you'd salute him.
So disrespectful. Man, 10-time All-NBA, and y'all are going to trash him. Y'all are crazy.
I love him.
Y'all
love
are
him.
Crazy.
All right, I told you that was going to get, it's just going to get progressively tougher. I'm going to give you the Big Shaqtus, Tim Duncan, and Anthony Davis.
All right, I mean, come on. Chris, you could start here, but I think
we're not clearly doing career. Timeout. You can't just, in order to play this game, of course you can't just focus on career. Like, who are you going to take? On? Like, Dave Rothenberg, you're the GM of your team. Who are you taking?
Well, I know who I'm not taking.
Exactly. That's easy.
Yeah.
It's trash Davis. Anthony Davis is out.
Yeah, you're trashing Anthony Davis. Yeah.
This garbage. Look at this garbage.
Yeah.
Now, who are you taking, Shaq or Duncan?
I'm probably going to roll with Shaquille O'Neal, but I don't think there's any wrong answer in that one. I really don't. I mean, I think Shaq is the most dominant force we've seen in the modern game. When I say modern game, you're talking about the last 25 years. But, I mean, Tim Duncan is arguably the best power forward basketball has ever seen. So, I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer.
The big fundamental. What are you going with, Dave?
I'm gonna listen, Anthony Davis, goodbye.
Firmly.
Is that because of the eyebrow? I feel like that's an eyebrow.
I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't help.
You never know. Anthony,
Dave
listen,
is a
Anthony,
brow elitist.
Anthony Davis could just start rolling through
I'm
NBA
sorry.
Championships.
There is no way that Anthony Davis will ever be in the conversation with Shaq or Tim Duncan.
Anthony Davis is pretty damn good.
It's not like he's terrific, and it's not like he's year two where he's got, I mean, he's been in the league for quite a while, and he's a terrific player, but he's not, I mean, Duncan and Shaq are all-time greats. So stop.
Yeah, but let's not forget. I mean, Duncan, fortunately for him, went to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're holding against the fact that Anthony Davis has been stuck in New Orleans.
I'm not holding the fact of anything.
That's true.
He's a great player. He's not at the level of Duncan or Shaq, and he never will be.
Here's
you're
where
trying
it
to talk me out of what I have conviction for.
No, it's. I mean, that would seem like the one that you would. I mean, unfortunately, you'd have to trash. But now is where it gets interesting, though, because do you want? I mean,
it's very, very
the sex appeal
thing.
Of Shaq, or do you want the the fundies?
Well, that's the thing is you're giving me one of the sexiest players in the NBA history, and you're giving me one of the most unsexy players in NBA history, but a great player nonetheless.
I feel like you got. I mean, don't you have to go longevity? I mean, just. I feel like you have to go big fundamental. I feel like
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to cuddle the big fundamental.
Bombs and hellacious.
Wow.
Teams.
I'm still
there
not
you
over
go,
the
Dave.
99
do the right thing.
And this is who you are.
I will. And listen,
the big Aristotle.
Maybe star power. Maybe star power has something to do with it. I mean, Shaq was a star of stars. I will
He's
marry.
Remember when he was ripping down goals, Dave?
Yeah.
He was ripping them down. Like, they had to have extra baskets in arenas.
That's his logo. In that dunk. Shazam.
Yeah, the personality is dynamic.
He's doing DJ and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not offended by that. All right, last one. Now, this is Mount Rushmore type stuff.
You're going Kareem?
Yep.
Let's see if I can guess who you're going.
Mount Rushmore.
He's going Kareem. He's going LeBron.
Yep.
Where else is he going here, Chris?
Come on. Do you believe
you said Mount Rushmore, Dave. Who's on everybody's Mount Rushmore basketball?
Yes, sir.
I mean, look what I've just done here.
This is why you're the best. You got Magic, LeBron, Kareem. It really should go without saying. If you're referred to by one name, you're probably pretty good.
Well, how about a nickname is the one name?
Which is amazing.
All right. No Carl Anthony Towns in this one, right?
No cat. No cat in this one. Nope.
Okay.
I was going to sprinkle an Elton Brand, but I said, you know what? I'm going to stay away.
Yeah. Chris, would you like to start or would you like me to start?
This is not easy, Dave, because this is one of my all-time favorite players, but I'm going to get the heavy lifting out of the way early. I am going to trash one Magic Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Look at this garbage.
I'm going to marry LeBron, and I'm going to cuddle Kareem.
Bombs did you? Were you? Hellacious seeds.
Canty, let me ask you an honest question. You're 6'8", 330, but you have a huge heart. Did you tear up a little bit when you just said you're going to trash Magic?
Yeah, that hurt a little bit. That hurt because that's when I fell in love with the Lakers. You got to remember that was my time. Like in the 80s, it was Showtime basketball, and the way that they played was a stark contrast from the way that the Knicks played. So, that, I mean, that's – That's, I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I fell in love, and Magic was at the heart of that. So to have to trash him, it pains me, but I feel like it's the right thing to do given the circumstances. Cause I'm not taking Kareem off the list, and I'm not getting rid of LeBron off the list. I think LeBron is the second best basketball player of all time.
So. I will tell you this. I don't even think it's all that difficult. I think the easier of the decisions is to trash Magic Johnson.
Look at this garbage.
Nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
He did have that show where you killed the man off.
Oh, my God. Thanks a lot, Santi.
Killed him off.
So just to reminisce, this is not my intention. Filling in for Stephen A. National show.
Oh, my goodness.
Start talking about Magic. And then my producer starts talking in my ear, and I completely lost my composure, and I killed Magic Johnson.
Nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was only for the entire country to hear.
Yeah, that was national.
Yeah, that, like that was Fayetteville, Arkansas national. Radio. No, that was that was for everyone.
Yeah, that was Stephen A. And if you listen to the opening of the show, you know how many markets it is.
Yeah, 374 markets.
Universe-wide.
Yes, worldwide. Magic. But you can hear in my voice. Like, nobody had, like, I didn't even know what I was saying. Nobody had any idea. Listen to the, just the way I paused and said nothing.
We'd have to play it so we could hear it.
Nobody
had
any idea that Magic was going to die.
Wow.
Nobody had any idea that.
You can actually hear the second you lost your train of thought.
Completely blank.
Yes. Darkness.
Thanks a lot, Santi. All right. I'm trashing Magic. A healthy, healthy Magic Johnson. Oh, God. It's almost like Kareem had two careers. He had his pre-Showtime career and then his Showtime career. LeBron is so great. I don't think I can go wrong. I'm going to cuddle LeBron.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I'm going to marry Kareem.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Final answer.
Final answer.
Final answer.
Now, what is, let me just say both of you, what is it about, I could understand, like, you're keeping Kareem no matter what.
Yes.
But what makes you trash Magic instead of LeBron?
I think LeBron is, and I don't even think it's all that
all around.
Close, to be honest. I think he's a far better basketball player from top to bottom.
Well, they're both great defenders. They're both excellent passers. Magic wasn't a great shooter.
Yeah, I think LeBron I feel like LeBron's
offensively a little bit better.
Yeah.
All around.
I mean, LeBron, there's nothing LeBron can't do.
I think he's probably one of the most versatile. I think LeBron James could go down as one of the most versatile athletes in the history of all sports.
I think he could be the most versatile athlete in the history of basketball.
Yes, I would agree with that, Dave.
Size, athleticism, ability to stay healthy.
If he said, I want to lead the league in rebounding, I think he could. If he said, I want to lead the league in assists, he's already proven he can. I mean, he could score 35 any given night. Like, there's nothing he can't do. He's the best defender if he wants to be. There's nothing he can't do.
Oh, he can't grow a ponytail. I can promise you that.
On the court.
Or an afro, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that time has passed. Yeah. All right, boys, there you go. Beautiful Wednesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
It was. It was very well done for CMT.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.